Federal Reserve keeps the rate and now has set a date.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Interest rates will remain near zero for the next 2 years until 2013. At least that's what the Federal Reserve promised yesterday in its regular statement. Keeping rates that low for that long is unprecedented, and it's a huge promise. So can we take that promise to the central bank? Marketplace's Jeff Horwich is with us live this morning to talk about it. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning, Steve.
So what exactly did the Fed promise to do?
Well, let's look at the actual language, see if this is a promise or not. The Fed's announcement says economic conditions, quote, are likely to warrant exceptionally low levels for the federal funds rate at least through mid-2013. That actually sounds like plenty of wiggle room, but ING chief economist Mark Cliff is worried that investors are indeed taking the Fed's statement as some kind of promise.
This is very much a conditional statement. This is their current assessment. This is not a cast-iron guarantee that interest rates are going to remain at zero for the next couple of years. That's the wrong way to interpret it.
So let's say the economy gets better, faster than we think. Mm-hmm. So one possibility is the Fed changes its mind, has to go back on its word, raise rates to rein in inflation. Another risk is that the Fed feels it can't change its mind and lets the economy overheat.
All right, wiggle room, as you say. This could be or could just be the first step from the Fed, right? And the economy still needs more help. What else could it do?
Well, the Fed has hinted at another round of quantitative easing. This is where the Fed buys bonds to inject money into the economy. But many economists like Scott Sumner of Bentley University think the Fed can get even more specific in the promises department.
An explicit promise to hit some, say, inflation or price level target at a series of future dates, I think would have a much more powerful effect on expectations because it would tell the markets that the Fed is going to do whatever it takes to achieve its goals.
Now, Sumner says that may be asking a lot of a usually pretty circumspect institution, but these are pretty extraordinary times.
All right. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reporting live for us. Jeff, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are mostly higher at the moment, but German shares have turned lower, down 1% right now. Asian shares were up for the most part today as well. More people applied for home loans last week, whether to refinance or to really buy a house. Couldn't hurt that interest rates are at their lowest levels for the year. Sweet news from Nestle, which raised its expectations for the year, saying it sees higher coffee and chocolate sales in emerging markets. Chinese exports hit a record high for the month of July, up more than 20% over the same time last year. Wall Street yesterday, the big drop on Monday turned to big gains yesterday. The NASDAQ slapped on 5%. The Dow surged higher by 429 points, nearly 4%, to close at 11,239. Another economic report out this week shows that for every employee, fewer things are being made. Worker productivity was down 0.3% in the last quarter. But what does lower worker productivity really mean? Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Remember the I Love Lucy episode where Lucy and Ethel get jobs in a candy factory?
Now your job is to take each piece of candy and wrap it in one of these papers and then put it back on the belt. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Let her roll!
They're doing fine until...
Speed it up a little!
Candies whiz past, and Lucy and Ethel aren't so productive anymore. That's kind of what's happened in the recession. First, companies downsized and got everyone who was left to work faster, do more. They bought new labor-saving machines. Productivity went way up.
Most workers out there are pretty much occupied full-time and are working overtime in a lot of cases.
Economist Patrick Newport at IHS Global Insight says workers and machines have gotten about as efficient as they can. Productivity's now slipping back.
Companies will have to hire more employees in order to get that productivity up to give their existing workforce a breather.
Unless they opt for lower productivity instead. That's what aerospace engineer Don Chambers sees happening at his company, a big Southern California defense contractor. Last year, he was doing 24 hours of overtime a week. Then...
Management decided that we should not be paid the overtime. Productivity has dropped off, and they're not hiring anyone to pick up the slack.
And with the economy slowing down, the next step might be another round of downsizing. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
Turns out the U.S. and Russia have a common foe, Standard & Poor's. After the U.S. had its credit rating downgraded by the rating agency, Russia now says it wants to be upgraded. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports on why Russia thinks its debt is undervalued.
Russia has long complained about its credit rating. Currently, the country is triple B, the second lowest investment grade, and below the ratings of Ireland, Cyprus, and the Bahamas. Prime Minister Vladimir Putin calls it an outrage. The country did default on its debt in 1998, but now it has more than $500 billion in currency reserves and is running a budget surplus.
Russia believes that it did the job to deserve a higher rating.
Yaroslav Lisovolik is chief economist with Deutsche Bank in Russia. He says its fiscal situation is better than the US and many European countries. Russia's public debt is just 10% of GDP.
Similar indicators in countries such as Italy, for example, would be of the order of nearly 10 times higher.
But analysts don't expect a change soon, especially with dependence on oil a concern, commitment to reform uncertain, and presidential elections due in March. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, a Marietta, Georgia church got an odd donation left in its collection plate a few Sundays back. It wasn't cash or a check, it wasn't even an IOU. The anonymous donor dropped 3 Keno tickets from the Georgia Lottery into the plate. And it turns out the tickets were big winners, worth more than $4,000. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. You can get the podcast there and the numbers, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.